Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Now they're going to be, they've got locations all over the place, but now Greeley as well. Greeley's hometown orthopedic group for over 51 years. OCR has been the specialist in the medicine of motion. Now they have six medical campuses and providing care along the Front Range. Now they're proud to be Greeley's hometown orthopedic group as well. 36 minutes after the hour. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, Pac-12 Media Days, we're getting to it. Looks like next week, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, I will say this. I'm going to be up in the middle of nowhere. I won't even be on with you next week. I've got my 100-mile wilderness ride I'm doing next from Friday through late next week, and so I'm not going to be there. But I will enjoy seeing what the boys have to say and what the coaches have to say by the time I get back late in the week. So when Media Day rolls around, the Pac-12, you know that the season's just around the corner and summer's coming to an end.
It must be a heck of a trip, Mark, for you not to be able to do this segment, man. I mean, my goodness. I don't know.
Somehow you'll have to fill this 10 minutes without me next week.
I'm hurt. No, we'll survive, but we'll be thinking. What's the trip like? I mean, what is it? So a wilderness trip?
Yeah, it's me and a bunch of guys, and there's an organization I'm with. We do a 100-mile wilderness horseback ride. We do, let's see, we get there on Thursday late afternoon, kind of settle in on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We go 20-20-20. Tuesday's a rest day for all of us involved, the horses and the humans. And then we go 20-20 on Wednesday and Thursday and come back on Friday.
Yeah, sounds awesome, man. I love your videos. I love when you get the little ones on with you and the horse, too. I mean, you're raising them right. They're going to be riding on their own pretty soon.
Yeah, we're doing our best. I'm just trying not to screw it up, is all I'm doing, like everybody else.
Yes, Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, kind of a potpourri for you. I mean, as far as storylines, looking at the Buffs on the football side of things, and, you know, again, part kind of pairing with Media Day next week, yep. What are some of those big question marks? We know the quarterback one is pretty much every year for every team. We're always thinking about the quarterback, but some of those things that stick out to you on the offensive side of the ball where you think, man, these are not necessarily concerns, but stories I'm really interested in following.
Well, yeah, I think there's a few things. I think, you know, the quarterback, like you said, is always number one, and that'll be fascinating to watch. You know, we're not concerned about running back. We've got three guys there. Two of them were on the Doak Walker preseason awards list you might have seen earlier today, that being Jerick Broussard and then Alex Fontenot. Ashawn Clayton's also outstanding, but those two are on the Doak Walker preseason list. And, you know, the wide receivers, there's not a lot of question in terms of is there quality there. It's who's going to emerge, because a lot of the youth within that group, and so I think we're all excited about a lot of the guys. Now we'll see who kind of rises to the top once the season gets here. You know, when it's all said and done, though, for me, outside of the quarterback position, is watching the offensive line, because I've said it before, Brady, on your show, you look at this team offensively, and there is enough potential. And you look around the skill positions, you're like, man, there's a lot of guys there that should be making plays. And then it always comes down, like it always does with every football team, can they protect the quarterback and open up holes for Broussard and Fontenot and Clayton to run through? And so that's one thing I'm really going to focus on when camp gets underway around August 5th, is really looking at that offensive front, seeing have they matured, how do you replace Will Sherman on the left side, who's in the NFL right now, and those kind of things. And is that group going to be what the Buffs need in order to make them successful on the offensive side? And so I think that's going to be one of the more interesting. And you know, it's probably true. That question is probably true in terms of what's interesting going to camp for about, 75% of the teams out there. And so I guess it's not unique, but it is something I'll be watching for the Buffs.
Well, and that, you know, especially when you have, maybe it's a positive uncertainty on the quarterback side of things, because I think everybody's excited about the competition, but you want to have that solid run game going, and it's got to start with that offensive line. But we know they got a pretty good running back as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, when you're talking about the offensive player of the year in the Pac-12 and Jerick Broussard a year ago and what he was able to do in five regular season games, and then you bring back Alex Fontenot. That's why I said he's on the Doak Walker list as well. He was nearly a 900-yard guy the year before, and last year, of course, got hurt, which allowed Broussard then to emerge. And so, and then I mentioned a moment ago, Ashawn Clayton was a highly regarded four-star kid come out of New Orleans, and he showed flashes, I thought, last year. I think there are really three guys on that team, and there may be more when camp gets underway we can talk about once we get into August and early September, but when you look at those three guys, you think those are very high-level running backs. And it's been a while since I can think of the Buffs having two guys or three guys of that quality. I mean, when I first got here, boy, I'm going to go right back in the file now. See if I can, Bobby Purify was one of the running backs when I first got here. Chris Brown had just left. I'm losing the second name. There was a couple of pretty quality guys, along with Bobby Purify, one other when I got here in 04. And, you know, prior to that, like I said, they had a real good stable. But this is late in Gary Barnett's tenure, and he was always a guy that appreciated having a good stable of running backs. You probably have to go back to that point, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago, since the Buffs' running back room was as deep as it is right now. There have been you know, singular guys over the course of my 17 years here. You know, Speedy a few years ago was outstanding, and obviously Phil, you know, when you think of some of the great ones. But in terms of having this kind of depth that can all run at a high level, it's been a while since the Buffs have had, you know, that kind of depth in the running back room.
I just remember Purify, Chris Brown. I mean, they'd taken turns against Nebraska. That was fun, man. That bringing me back. I loved that group of running backs.
Now you'll notice, Brady, by the way, along with those guys, Gary also had a number of guys in that offensive front that went out of the NFL. Right?
Yeah.
So they weren't mutually exclusive. They relied upon each other, and that's when you have great running games.
Yeah, when you can get those two to click, I mean, you can do a lot of things with the football. Jarek Broussard's numbers last year, Mark, were just outrageous, especially against Arizona when he put out 300 yards. And I mean, he was almost guaranteed to pop over 120, it seemed like. But do you see those kind of numbers, or does he come back down to earth a little bit? Because his first game, or like one of his games, I think he only had like 80, but I only had 80. But he had a couple. He had a 200-yard game, a 300-yard game. It was nuts.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason why he can't be that way again, because I do think he's a very dynamic talent. Now, here's the thing that'll be interesting to watch. He wore that knee brace last year. He has had knee issues in his career. And so, you know, Carl Durrell gave him a hard time a couple of times when he had a couple of breakaways in that 300-yard game where he didn't have a touchdown, saying, you know, if you're a little bit quicker, you might have actually scored about four or five touchdowns that game. You know, Jarek had made the point that he felt slowed down a little bit by, you know, that brace he was wearing. And I don't expect him to. Everything we saw in spring ball says he will not be wearing that brace, said he felt quicker without it. And so that'll add to his explosiveness, obviously, if that's the case coming up this season. So I do think he's the kind of guy, and listen, I've told you before how much stock I put in Gary Barnett, my broadcast partner's evaluation of football players. And Gary made the comparison a couple of times. Said, I'm not calling him Barry Sanders, but he's got that Barry Sanders kind of balance and shiftiness that great running backs have to have. And, boy, if coach is making those kind of comments, this is a pretty good talent, and I expect him to be good no matter when he plays.
Now, I don't have the records in front of me or anything for CU, but Jarek, I mean, is this the kind of guy that could start to threaten at least move up the lists as far as those top running backs of all time for CU?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if he continues on this kind of pace, obviously he's going to be in that, you know, in terms of a number standpoint, Eric Bieniemy and Phil and guys we've seen here at Reese, Chris Brown is going to be in that conversation as well. So, yeah, if he continues this kind of pace over the course of his career, he'll certainly be in that conversation. You know, Speedy Stewart, when he was here a number of years ago, you know, made a pretty good run at some of the all-time records there. And so I think Jarek is that kind of talent. Now, here's the interesting part of this. He's a dynamic talent. When you've got then Fontenot and Clayton along with him, does he get the consistent heavy-duty number of carries he would need to start to, you know, pressure some of those all-time records? And so, you know, sometimes it's not that one guy wasn't as good as others. It's just that there was more depth around him. More guys are getting opportunities. And you don't see a lot in this day and age. You don't see a lot of that feature back kind of deal where they're getting 25, 30 carries all the time. Coaches have figured out this is not wise. Guys get worn down over the course of time, and so a lot of times you don't see guys with that kind of carry load like they used to have.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, because guys can still be explosive. They can be studs, but if you're wanting to work other guys in and keep guys fresh, that's one way to do it. That's certainly a philosophy we're seeing more and more on both sides, college and the NFL. So that'll be interesting to see how that one all breaks out. How about the tight end game? The tight end game should be pretty strong overall with Brady Russell there.
Oh, I think so. And Brady is just he's one of my favorites. I mean, I just love the kid's attitude, the way he works, the way he plays, the physicality he has, what he's become from being a walk-on now to being One of their top tight ends. And if you look at, I won't come up with all the names because there's so many of them, but I mean, they've got a deep, deep list of tight ends. I mean, they've recruited heavy. They've taken in some transfers from some Power Five programs around the country. And so there's a lot of numbers at that position. And I think with, in particular with Chandler Durrell, I'll throw him in as well because he was working with the tight ends out in San Francisco. With their history in the NFL working with the tight end, that position I do think is going to be a very prominent aspect of Carl Durrell's offense. And so expect to hear a lot about those guys, I think, when the season gets underway.
The wide receiver group's interesting, too, with Levante and then Brandon Rice, of course. Some big names there attached to other big names throughout now the NFL.
Well, the one thing that we've seen here in recent years, Darren Cheverini is the offensive coordinator, being a former Buff receiver and NFL receiver himself, loves those guys. And they have had a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. And this young group that you're talking about with Levante Shenault and Stanley, and you talked about Brendan Rice and Montana Lamonius Craig, and I mean, it just goes on down the line. It's a very deep group. And so I said earlier, I think it's going to be interesting to see who kind of rises there because I think there's a number of guys. Maurice Belton, they got that flash quite a bit last year. I think there's a number of guys there that have the potential and a possibility, and so we'll see who kind of rises to the top. Daniel Arias, by the way, was a guy we thought last year was really going to be his breakout year, and he ended up having some injury issues, and so we didn't hear a lot from him. But he's a big-bodied receiver. And the one thing the Buffs have done here in recent years when they've recruited wide receivers, they've gone big. I mean, there's some good-looking, big-time athletes, 6'2", 6'3", 195, 210, those kind of bodies out there. And so I just like the makeup of what they've done in that regard.
Yeah, man, you're getting me pumped. I'm ready to get into camp and learn even more specifics about this team. There's some names there. I think that's the thing Buffs fans have to take away from this chat, is there's certainly a lot of names on this roster to look out for that could do some pretty big things this season.
I think so. Now, the question marks we talk about, can that offensive line develop as we hope it does? Okay, that's number one. Number two, on some of the position groups we talked about, there's some depth there. There are other areas where I'm not sure the depth is where Carl wants it and ultimately will get it as he continues to recruit. But, it's not all roses right now, but there is optimism, and I think there's reason for optimism when you're talking about the Buffaloes and what they can or maybe should do in 2021.
Mark, my friend, we will miss you next week, but we'll be thinking about you. Have a great time. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you in 2 weeks.
I'll look forward to it. I'm going to come back looking like Jeremiah Johnson, by the way. So I'll look forward to it. I'll send you a picture next week when I get back.
Hey, I love it, my friend. Always appreciate it. And, yes, have fun, man. Enjoy all the stuff that you do, all the stuff that you're about, and just appreciate your time on the show.
You bet. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. He's also the guy on the Buffalo that you see in the GIFs. That is him. I'm convinced. That is Mark. He rides Buffaloes around. He just has fun doing it. 12:48 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get to our Power to Play Sports poll question. Talk about that a little bit more. Nico Medved, is he going to will he be here for the duration of that contract that goes through 2027? Just because he signs it, and just that doesn't mean anything in the NCAA. So we'll talk about that next.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.